Welcome to Dear Instructional Designer, Episode 4. Welcome back to Dear Instructional Designer, the show about the instructional design journey. I'm your host, Kristen Anthony. It's still launch week, and as you know, I've dedicated this week to sharing some recommendations and insights into creating a really great portfolio. So last episode, I talked about the tools you can put in your toolbox to get started making these things, from the big three to free and open source to stuff that you probably already have on your various devices. There's a variety of tools that you can use to do awesome work and get started now. This episode, let's dig into another portfolio pitfall, getting stuff done. Let's say you buy the idea that the portfolio is important and you thought hard about what to make. Maybe you even think the emulation process I described in episode 2 sounds like a good idea, and you're prepared to get started now with some tools that you have at your disposal. Now you're at a point where it's time for the rubber to meet the road. How are you going to fit this into, you know, life? When I was younger, I really wanted to be a writer, and the problem was that I was stuck with this very deadly misconception, the myth of the idea person. I thought that if I just had cool ideas, just had the right inspiration, that I could write anything, no problem. The other side of that, of course, was that if the inspiration fairy hasn't visited me, then I couldn't write, not my fault. It was all based on whether or not I was inspired at the time. But as many creative professionals have pointed out, beautifully, in fact, in some really great talks and articles, that's not necessarily how creativity works, right? The real secret sauce for boosting your creativity and being inspired is to make things consistently. That's it. Bottom line, full stop. There are a couple of great articles on Medium that I'll link to in the show notes. But what does that mean for you? Well, it means that if you really do want to get better at instructional design, if you really want to create a portfolio and offer evidence of all of the cool things that you can do, you have to make the time to practice. You have a full-time job, you have a spouse or a significant other, you have kids, I get it. Life happens. But if this is a priority, you have to make time for making. There's really no alternative. If other things like family time have more priority, that's totally valid. You know, I'm not judging that at all. It's just own up to the fact that getting better at anything requires dedicated practice time. You have to decide when and how to prioritize making projects for your portfolio. And committing is hard. So once you decide, again, that making portfolio projects is a priority for you, here are a few things that could maybe help to make sure that you stay on track. Step one would be decide on a schedule. Think about the other things in your life and decide on a schedule that you can meet, again, consistently. I began with the weekly Articulate challenges, which I think is something that a lot of people are going to recommend. Then I found that many of the types of e-learning projects that I wanted to do and that I wanted to create would take longer than a week to do well. So I committed to building one project every month. Increasingly, at this point, they aren't all traditional e-learning. Right now, to build my skills, I'm completing coding projects and game development projects, and that's okay too. Some months I do shorter projects so I can complete maybe two, but my minimum for myself is one project every month. Some of you may find that you prefer to complete a project every week or even every quarter. The point here is to find a schedule that works for you and commit to it. The $100 MBA, which is the podcast I've been listening to a lot lately, has an excellent episode that recommends one way of creating a making schedule that you might find helpful. I'll link to it in the show notes. So step one, decide on a schedule. Step two, hold your horses. Another thing that can help keep you on track is ruthlessly reining in the scope of your projects. And this is something that I've been really onto lately as I start to try to create my first games. This has been a really important concept to keep my head around. And it's hard, right? I know that a great project idea can tempt you to become overly ambitious or adding feature after feature until it becomes this leviathan that you find impossible to finish. None of us want to be that guy or that woman with the folder dedicated to unfinished projects. I found that going through the entire process from initial prototyping on paper and or another tool, I often use PowerPoint because it feels throwaway to me. It feels like something that I won't get stuck on. Before jumping into my final development tool, helps to surface any possible sticking points before I get too invested. As an example, when I was working on my Travel-y demo, it's a demo that I did that is thinking about training people who work on for travel sites, which actually was an emulation of a Allen Interactions project. I began with one design process and one design plan, but as I tried to develop it, I found that the design just really wasn't working at all. So I chucked it all out and started at the beginning prototyping in PowerPoint. So again, just the takeaway here is that it can be really helpful to not get super invested, not jump into your final tool up front. The other thing that I want to say is, yes, this is a side project, but really, if you want to commit to your side projects, you need to treat them like any other project that you would be paid to do. And many times that includes going through that entire process to make sure that the end product does what you want. So don't treat it like something that you could finish or not finish. Definitely treat it like something that is important, something that you would be paid to do. So step one, decide on a schedule. Step two, hold your horses and think about prototyping. Think about getting all of those things out of the way before you jump into your final tool. And step three, show your work. Remember this? Yes, I've mentioned it before, and here it is again. Among the many benefits of showing your work, publicly committing to and showing progress in your work can help to make you feel accountable to actually finishing them. The popular NaNoWriMo program, the program where you write a novel in 30 days, often encourages WriMo's participants to tweet and or blog about their process to make their intentions public so that family and friends can hold them to their commitments. While sharing your work should never take so much time that it prevents you from actually doing the work, declaring that you are going to have something done by the end of the month or by the end of the week can provide just the right motivation to actually get it done. So that's up to you, but that's definitely one thing that I found helpful, and certainly a lot of other people have as well. Thank you so much for listening. Before we part, I want to leave you with another step. Step four, forgive yourself, but don't give up. There are going to be times when work or family or other important things interrupt your ability to get a project done on time. For example, my Carmen Sandiego-like game, Mel Hammer Detective Agency, took 2 months instead of one. During that time, I was job hunting, took a week-long vacation, and had to endure all manner of other kinds of interruptions. Combine that with the fact that the actual development process wasn't going nearly as smoothly as I had anticipated due to some trouble with variables, and that was a recipe for giving up if there ever was one, and I was tempted. But I didn't want to continue being someone who didn't finish things. And even though the final project isn't as extensive or as smooth as I would have liked, I finished it. I also took the opportunity to evaluate the sticking points so that I could learn from them. Forgive yourself if you need to take a hiatus, but remember, don't quit. Finished is always better than perfect. I would love to see what you're making, what you're experimenting with. You can find me on Twitter at @anthchris, or you can send me an email at kristen@dearinstructionaldesigner.com. Once again, folks, I'm asking you to do me a solid and leave a review on iTunes. Your review will help me to know how I'm doing, help me know if you're finding the podcast useful at all at this point, and it will help other IDs find this podcast too. Launch week is almost done. Keep up the momentum. I've got a lot of great stuff lined up in the future. I'm excited about it. Keep listening, and I'll talk with you again tomorrow.